Dead Beats on the Air presents A North Shore Christmas Carol, a radio adaptation of the Charles Dickens classic.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day.
Stave 1, Morstad's Ghost.
Morstad was dead, to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner.
Dust to dust.
Seamus signed it, and Seamus's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. He was a man of business, and his partner, old Morstad, was surely and most definitely dead as a doornail.
2,748 in arrears, Mr. and Mrs. Seglum. Will we now? Well, here's a little nail in your... Who could grouch it?
Yes, Mr. Carroll?
There's a door. Answer it.
I'm sorry. Yes, sir. I was just finishing...
Grouch it!
Yes, sir.
Can't find good help nowadays. All next-generation hippies. My day, you kept your nose to the grindstone.
Hi there, cold enough for you?
Cold enough for you.
Oh, you don't say. Wind near tore my hat off.
Here, let me get that door. Would you look at that snow coming down? Now that's a white Christmas.
Say, you don't happen to be Mr. Morstad or Mr. Carroll, do you?
You looking to rent a house?
Oh, no, no. Though I hear Morstad and Carroll own more land on the North Shore than Uncle Sam. But no, I'm with Four Squares, a local nonprofit.
Four Squares. Yeah, you put on the holiday meal every year up at the Moose Track Community Center.
That's us. By the way, Jeannie McFliver, I'm the new executive director.
Bob Crochet.
Bob Crochet? Now, why do I know that name?
Drop by the tavern on Thursday nights?
The Roving Voyageurs. Yes, you're the banjo player. I thought I recognized you.
Blah!
Did you... Is that the plumbing?
Roger!
Yes?
Are you looking for a new job?
Not at the moment.
You will be if you don't get back to work post-haste. I don't pay you to glad-hand the riffraff.
If this is a bad time...
No, it's fine. How about if I just show you back to his office?
I'm not here.
Sir, this lady's from Four Squares.
Yes, and I can already see her hand out.
This brochure...
No, the other hand you intend to dip in the back pocket. Crouch it. Before you go, take this envelope with you and deliver it to the Seglums.
The Seglums? Why, I know them. Peg and Mark.
It's an eviction notice. And this copy, crouch it, goes to the sheriff, with my express wish that he carry out his duty with a little more haste this time.
I'll deliver these on my way home.
Why is it everyone so charitable to the poor when I'm the one having to carry their unpaid rent month to month? Blah!
Jeannie, my wife made some cookies.
Is that your wife's famous meat-free cookies, Crouchet?
My family and I are vegan.
That's wonderful. I'm a little too partial to milk and eggs myself to
and
give them up.
Red meat.
Well, actually, I just had lunch, so I better hold off on the cookies.
They're carob chip mint.
Some other time. Thank you.
Crouchet, is that you darkening my door still?
Merry Christmas, Jeannie.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Bob.
See you at the tavern some night?
You betcha.
Blah! Absolutely no work ethic.
May I sit?
Why? Do your legs pain?
No. I'm Jeannie McFliver, the new executive director at Four Squares as of 3 months ago. Do I have the honor of addressing Mr. Morstad?
Mr. Morstad has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Then you must be Mr. Carroll. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Carroll, those of us who have much should make provision for those who do not. Surely in your line of work, you must encounter dozens, I'd say even hundreds, who are struggling to keep the lights on and maintain the heating bill, fighting at the very least to keep their families together and under the same roof without resorting to extreme measures.
Are there no prisons? No reformatories?
I wish I could say there weren't.
And the halfway houses and the homeless shelters.
Both very busy.
Ah, I was afraid from what you said that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
My organization, Four Squares, is endeavoring to raise a fund to buy food and drink and coats, hats, and such for those North Shore families who could use a boost. All of this to be distributed tomorrow at our annual holiday meal. You can read about it in the brochure. Free and open to everyone, of course. I hope you'll join us. I must admit, however, at this late hour, we are still several hundred dollars away from meeting our goals. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned with my taxes. And those who are badly off must go there.
Many would rather die.
If they would rather die, that's their choice. They'd better do it soon and decrease the surplus population.
Perhaps...
Good afternoon.
Simply a $50 donation. Or a $25.
Good afternoon!
Seeing clearly that it would be useless to pursue her point...
What a Scrooge.
Miss McFliver withdrew. Seamus resumed his labors with an improved opinion of himself.
A rental check for $2,000 made out to Morstead and Carroll. Now that is a charitable contribution I support. Cratchit!
Yes, Mr. Carroll?
These checks must be deposited before the end
I'm
of business.
I'm already putting on my coat.
Meanwhile, the snow and darkness thickened, so that cars on the streets of downtown Moose Track ran about with headlights slashing holes in the downy white to advance in slow-moving caravans to their several destinations. Last-minute shoppers bundled out of glowing shop doorways and were merrily waylaid by the adventures of another Minnesota winter. Families tucked around dinner tables, happily ignorant of the chill outside temperatures. Very late, too late on a Christmas Eve, the lights shone in the windows of Morstead and Carroll Property Management. A roving band of carolers, noses gnawed by the cold, passed by the door, distributing seasonal good cheer.
What is all this caterwauling outside my door?
Would you like to make a request? We know silver bells. Oh, away in a manger.
I'll take the silent night without the singing. Thank you.
But it's Christmas Eve.
Good night, carolers. Bunch of mad fools bent on ruining a usefully silent night with their harking this and their merry that.
I kind of like their singing. After all, Christmas only comes once a year.
Humbug.
Why not be merry?
Merry? What right have you to be merry, Crouchet? You're poor enough.
What right do you have to be dismal? You're rich enough.
I'm the boss. Best you remember that.
Anyway.
Yeah, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be fixed with antlers and tossed in the woods at the height of deer season. You'll want off tomorrow, I suppose.
If convenient, Mr. Carroll.
It is not convenient to pay a day's wages for no work. A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Be here all the earlier the next morning.
My wife and son and I, well, it's just going to be the three of us tomorrow. And there's no way we can eat a tofurkey roast by ourselves. It's easy enough to set an extra place at the table.
What for? Early, Crouchet. I expect you very early, the day after tomorrow.
You can count on me.
You'd better. You'll be seeing a lot more of Miss McFliver and her charitable organization.
The office closed for the evening. Bob Crochet, with the long ends of his scarf dangling below the second-hand greatcoat, departed with a smile on his face and a tune on his lips. And Seamus departed, hard on his assistant's heels, locking the door and growling at the ropes of blinking lights that festooned the offices on either side of his. He grumbled all the way to the end of his usual walk, where he retrieved his usual broasted chicken from the usual corner restaurant.
$6 for this shriveled sack of bones?
No one's twisting your arm to buy our chicken, you know, and I'm getting tired of your complaints.
Not as tired as this chicken looks.
He carried his dinner, vice-like, under a crooked elbow as he scaled the icy hill to the unlit monolith that was the address of Seamus Carroll. Now, it is a fact that there was nothing at all particular about the knocker on his door, nor had Seamus bestowed one thought on Axel Morstead since his last mention of his 7 years dead partner that afternoon. He paused with his key in the door.
What's this?
In the knocker, he saw the face of Morstad. It had a dismal light about it.
Not possible!
And looked as Morstad used to look, with ghostly spectacles turned up on its ghostly forehead. That, and its livid color, made it horrible to... He put his hand upon the key he had relinquished, turned it sturdily, walked in, and flipped the switch.
Trick of the light! Blah.
A funereal light, hardly sufficient to illuminate a fish tank, let alone the great creaking darkness of his house, trimmed the stairway before him.
Humbug, 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 humbug.
Habitually, Seamus took his dinner in the upstairs room that doubled as a bedroom, and seeing everything as it should be, sat down to eat his chicken in the frigid atmosphere of a single kerosene heater.
More bone than bite to this chicken.
Now, Seamus kept an alarm at his bedside table, disused. Yet for no accountable reason, his glance suddenly happened to rest upon that alarm when...
Another piece of junk.
The bell was succeeded by a clanking noise deep down in the bowels of his house, as if some person were dragging a heavy chain.
It's the chicken talking back at me, that's all. The carcass was crawling with salmonella. Now I'm delusional. It's humbug, still humbug, humbug, humbug. What do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Axel Morstad.
Morstad? Can you sit?
I can.
Do it, then. I don't believe what I am seeing.
Do you doubt your senses?
A little thing affects them. You may be an undigested bit of chicken, a dab of mustard. There's more gravy than of gravy.
Dreadful apparition.
Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
You're wearing chains.
The chain I forged in life, is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the coil you'll bear yourself? It was full and heavy and as long as this, 7 Christmas Eves ago. Yours is a ponderous chain, Seamus Carroll.
Speak comfort to me, Axel.
I have none to give. Mark me. In life my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-grubbing. And weary journeys lie before
7 years dead and traveling all the time?
No rest, no peace. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one's life's opportunity misused.
But you were always a good man of business.
Business? Humankind was my business. At this time of the rolling year, I suffer most. Hear me. My time is nearly gone.
Don't be hard on me.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. A chance and hope of my procuring, Seamus.
You were always a good friend.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread.
Well,
expect the first when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over?
Expect the second on the next hour, the third after that. And look that for your own sake.
Axel.
You remember what has passed between us.
Axel, where are you going? Why, the window is opening on its own. And there are people. Phantasms. Floating on the air. Wait, I know that one there. That ghost in the white coat. And that one over there, too. Oh, poor woman. I knew her as a child. But what are they doing out there? What is there to spare?
I go to join them. Come no further, Seamus. It is not your time.
Axel?
Remember,
Axel.
When the bell tolls one.
Bell? What bell? Axel? Axel!
Stave 2, the first of the three spirits.
What? Who? Who's there? Who turned on the light? Show yourself.
I brought the light.
Yes, I see you now. Are you the spirit whose coming was told to me?
I am.
What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
The light, it's too bright. Can you tone it down?
Would you so soon put out the light I give? Is it not enough that you are one of those whose passions made this shutter I place over the light?
That's better, thank you. Why are you here?
For your welfare. Come, rise and walk with me.
Just a moment there. Let me get my slippers. You're not leading me out that window. I'm liable to fall.
Touch my robe and you shall be upheld in more than body.
Whoa. We're flying. I am flying. Look. Down there, I can see Moose Track. It's so tiny, in the lake. But where are we going? Into the North Woods.
And now we descend into a scene from your past. So why is your lip trembling?
I remember this place.
Strange to have forgotten it then for so many years.
Sugar Loaf Lodge. Oh, just ahead. You can almost see the porch. There it is. Someone has neglected the porch, though. Look at that snow. Now, in my day, back when Reagan was Reagan, I would have been out here straight away shoveling a path. No one had to tell me twice.
There you are now, coming out the door.
Yes, as I was. And there's my boss, old Finlayson, alive again.
Now, Seamus, don't put too much of your back into that snow shoveling. You'll need to save some of that for the dance later on.
Only if you have a right foot in exchange for my two left feet.
Already taken care of it. I spiked the punch. A cup of that and there won't be a right foot in the entire house. Just clear a path to the door, Seamus. If our guests can't scale a snowbank, they don't deserve the name Minnesotan.
Be right in, Mr. Finlayson.
You'll be right in if I come back out and yank you inside. I know you, Seamus Carroll. Hardest working man I ever met.
5 minutes.
5 minutes, and then it's into your holiday clothes. I'd better go inside and sample the food. I mean, check to make sure the food's nearly done.
Better not let your wife catch you in the kitchen. She knows all about your sampling.
5 minutes, Seamus.
5 minutes. Oh! Okay, who threw that snowball? All right, come out, Jenny.
You should have seen the look on your face. Didn't know what hit you.
It's hard to miss a snowball on the side of your head.
Did I hurt you?
I'm not sure I'll recover.
Here, let me kiss it. That better?
A little faint still.
I see that. Your lips are cold. Do you think mouth-to-mouth is necessary?
Urgent.
Forgive me?
Much better.
Why don't we make sure?
Jenny. Jenny, please, not right now.
But you're hurt. You're a wounded man.
You can heal me after I finish shoveling this walk.
Most girls worry about the other woman. I worry about the snow shovel and the lawnmower and the weed whacker.
I'm the grounds manager. What do you expect?
I don't know. Maybe that you show me the same attention you lavish on a cement sidewalk.
If you were covered with snow, I would.
Ha ha, I'm laughing. I mean it, Seamus. You can't keep putting the people you care about second to your work. Yes, Seamus, I do love talking to myself.
What's that?
Nothing.
God, you look beautiful.
There you go. Ruining a perfectly good argument before it even starts.
I'm serious. I don't know what you see in me.
The man I fell in love with.
A groundskeeper?
Yeah, a groundskeeper. I've already thought it through. Doctors keep odd hours. Lawyers know far too much about divorce and far too little about compassion. Teachers lecture. Bankers bore. And dog groomers, well, I don't think I have anything against them. It just, they're not you.
Come here.
Seamus.
You don't care, but I don't ever want you to be ashamed. When you introduce your husband, I want you to be able to hold your head up and point and say, my husband owns that. That's his business. He's a big...